Good morning, Running for Christ Ministries.
Morning.
Good morning, people of God. All right, well, if you've experienced the goodness of God and can't help but to worship Him, we're inviting you right now to worship with us.
Thank you.
All right, today's responsive reading actually is a scripture reading. We're going to read it together. And it's Psalm chapter 3 from the New Living Translation.
O Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. So many are saying, God will never rescue me. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept, yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I am not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. Arise, O Lord, slap all my enemies in the face, shatter the teeth of the wicked. Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people.
And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hears, and doers of his great word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you because we don't have to fight our own battles. You fight them for us. We thank you for life. We thank you for everlasting life. We thank you for everything that you've done on the cross for us so that you could live with us. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
This is how we fight our battles in worship. Because our God, he doesn't lose a fight.
Thank you. Let us prepare for our communion. How many of you know what the word means? The word communion. It means the sharing of intimate thoughts and feelings on a spiritual level. The sharing of intimate thoughts and feelings on a spiritual level. That's what this is about. What Jesus did for us was to reconnect us because of what happened in the garden. He wants us to continually, not just on First Sunday, to share our intimate thoughts and feelings with Him. It only makes sense if He made you, He knows how you feel and what you think. And because He knows that, He knew His first steps on earth were going to lead Him to the cross. So His body was broken for us. Take and eat. The Lord knew as a child on this earth that He was going to have to literally shed all of His blood to wash all of our sins away. Take that to heart as we drink. Amen.
You may be seated. While she's collecting the communion and we have a minute, since it is First Sunday, we don't have altar call, but I need you to remember to keep praying. Some people, you see, they've come off the list, but it doesn't mean they come off our hearts, just because we need more room. Continue to pray for Pastor Jonathan, who just did communion, and his sons and the loss of his father and their grandfather. Remember the victims of violence, their families, fires, and floods. Y'all see Death Valley flooded?
Yeah.
Crazy. Our Running for Christ Ministries mothers, of course, and Doris Gaither. She joined us a little bit in class yesterday. So just because she's not with us, we don't forget her.
Yes.
And of course, our Deacon Eric Reed. And please, please, I know some many of us voted. I hope all of us voted. If you didn't vote in this election, please make sure in November you show up to the polls or you fill out your absentee ballot and vote. For government at all levels, because we need them to do what God has created them to do. Amen?
Amen.
So in your prayers, remember this. Thank you, Oliver. You were missed. Yes, he was. Let me do something real quick. Avoid the feedback. Good morning. Is that your prayer this morning, that the Holy Spirit breathes and gives you new life and that he fills you? Let me get my things together. As you see, I'm your guest speaker. I call it my mess up. God says, no, it wasn't. It was his divine plan all along. He just didn't tell me until our speaker will be with us next week. But as it's already been announced this week, we have three women of God who will be presenting the word of God this month. And I have to stop and say, Pastor, thank you for being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Because we are in the kingdom for such a time as this. And this word that the Lord is really, I thought I was going to preach on fourth Sunday. He said, nope, today is a right now. It's a rhema word. So let's get into this with a little bit of an introduction. There's a lot of conversation going on in the world, especially in the church, about women today. Y'all know you can't turn on the TV where there's not protests and marches and people talking. And then you go and you look on. Okay, I look at TikTok. It's funny. I've now learned how to open a pop and do a whole lot of other stuff that I didn't know all these almost 60 years I ain't never know how to do. But in there, you see, and also a lot of clips of people who are doing this thing called deconstruction. Deconstruction is not bad as long as you're not deconstructing away from Jesus. It's just going through the stuff that you've already been taught, that you taught were taught like, oh, this is what the Bible says. And then you read the Bible and go, it don't say that. Or maybe I misunderstood it, or maybe they misunderstood it. So there's a lot of that going on. And then there are a lot of people who want to reconstruct back to the way things used to be. Some of y'all know some of those people who want women to go back into the kitchen, like James in Florida, kitchen in the bedroom. That's what is going on. So there's a lot of conversation about women, their rights, their positions, their power, their purpose, their gender. A lot of folks are mad because the person second in command in the United States is a female. And on top of it, she's a female of color. They threw a hissy fit when the most qualified person ever to sit on the Supreme Court was nominated because she was a woman, and she was a woman who looked like most of us. But yet she's the most qualified on paper. So it's a lot of conversations about women. And then also, sadly, in the church, y'all know the SBC had a big blowout where they had multiple, and I'm not talking about 10 or 20, we're talking about hundreds of cases of sexual assault and abuse that was reported but not dealt with. And it seems like more than church after church after church, and leader after leader after leader, and even some of us, I was a devout Reverend Zacharias person. And then he died and all his dirt came out about how he treated women. See, there's a problem, obviously, and it's not just in the world, it's in the church, and we're not addressing it. Because when we don't like something or we don't know what to do about it, we retreat to what we know because it's easier. But I'm here today to say some things to you, and I pray it shake you to your core but reshape you into his image. Amen. Amen. One in four girls are sexually abused before the age of 18 in this country. Now, when we look around, a bunch of them just went downstairs. A couple of them still sitting up here. One in four. 50% of it is by somebody they know. 30% is by a family member. And we were teaching kids, stranger danger, stranger danger. But 80% of the sexual abuse comes from somebody they know. Black women have the highest rate of death by domestic violence in the country. So what does this say about our society, which influences the church when it comes to women? I truly believe that our God is righteous and just, and he wants to do us to do what is right and make things right in the earth. So this month, while we're speaking about women in the Bible, this purpose is it: to do what's right and to participate in making things right. Because if you don't know the purpose of a person, place, or thing, you will abuse it. That is the definition of abuse. And in order to know what God's purposes and plans are for women, why don't we look and see what he says? Let us pray. Father, right now, we're just asking, Holy Spirit, that you speak. Your job, Jesus said, is to teach us. So reveal to us clearly what you are saying to us today. But more importantly, Lord, afterwards, let us obey you no matter what the cost. Knowing that to glorify you is everything, and this world needs us to show up and show out for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So when you want to know what God says, you don't go to the pastor. Love him. He know the Bible. But he ain't the Bible. Nor is he God. Please don't come to me. Because if you catch me on the wrong day or the right day, you will find out I'm not God either. Go to the Word. In proper hermeneutics, which is understanding and interpreting Scripture, there is a law called the law of first mention, which means you go to where God talked about it first to determine what it means. So guess where we're going? Genesis. Let's go to the beginning. First, I'm going to have you look at Genesis chapter 1. Got to get past all these pages in this Bible. I'm reading in the New American Standard Version because that's where I'm at right now sometimes. But you'll understand your translation, or if you got your phone, your INIS or whatever, use that. Genesis chapter 1. And I'm going to first read verse 25, where it said, I'm sorry, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the of the sky, and over the livestock, and over all of the earth, and over every crawling thing that crawls on the earth." So right there in the beginning, Genesis chapter, the first book of the first book, in the beginning, when God created mankind, he said, "Let them rule." Let them, not him, them. And see, Genesis 2 is just more detail of Genesis 1. So let's go to Genesis 2. And I'm going to make y'all laugh a little bit before I make you mad. But then I'm going to make you laugh again. You'll be good. In Genesis 2, we at verse 7, where it says, "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living person." That is Genesis 2, 7. But then we look at Genesis 18 through 23, Genesis 2, 18 through 23, Genesis 2, 18 through 23. Try not to get ahead of myself. I'm a little excited. Where it says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds, to the sky, and to every animal of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and he brought her to the man. Then the man said, at last, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And the joke is, God used one verse to describe creating men, but six to talk about creating women. Yeah, I'm going to be all crazy. I don't care. I'm happy with my father right now. Well, God had Moses write down his story, because see, God had to write, had to have one of his people tell his story, because there are a bunch of stories about creation in the world at the time. The Mesopotamians have their story, and all the other cultures have their story about how the world became, you know, the boom, and the gods got together and had a fight, and all, you got all these different stories. And sad to say, in the church, a lot of those different stories are actually sprinkled into this story. But one of the things that God noticed is, in their stories, women were often either excluded or considered weak, feeble, and worthless. So when God said, Moses, write, he said, write what I say. When I created woman, I created her with a purpose in mind. Not to be marginalized, not to be abused, not to be disrespected, not to be demeaned. But I created her to be a helper suitable for Adam. Now, we got a lot of different variations of thinking of what that might mean, but let's use the Hebrew, because that's the language that Moses wrote this in. And I'm going to teach you a little Hebrew today. I'm going over here to do this because I don't have a mouse, because it's expensive for this computer. The Hebrew words God used, first word, Ezer. That means helper. We translate it, right? You see in the translation, it says helper. The word Ezer means something. Okay, get this. Here y'all go. This is the test today. Helper, one who aids, strengthens, or helps in a way that you cannot help yourself. Big reveal. This word is only used in the Old Testament to describe two people: woman and God. Come on, let's look. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 33 and 20, verse 29. Make you break your Bible open just a little bit today. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 29. If you get it, say, I'm here. All right. Where it says, blessed are you, Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your Ezer. Help. Same word. Hebrew word, help. Same word. God is Israel's helper. And look how he's described. He said, and he who is the sword of your majesty, so your enemies will cringe before you and you will trample on their high places. This sounds like somebody who is a warrior who comes to the aid of his people. Let's look again. We know this because we sing it and we like to talk about it all the time. Go to Psalm 121. And if we were over in Israel in service right now, we would read Psalm 121 and we would say it in Hebrew. I can't say all of it in Hebrew, but I will use the Hebrew words. Psalm 121 verse 1 says, I will raise my eyes to the mountains. From where will my Ezer come? My Ezer comes from the Lord. So the word that God used to describe the woman that he created is the same word he used to describe himself when it comes to helping Israel. A helper is not someone who, help me tie my shoe. Help me cook dinner. You stand there and you pour this in the pot while I'm stirring. No, a helper is somebody who can cook. A helper is somebody who can do more than you can do. That's why little kids come to you and say, help me tie my shoe. They can't tie their shoe because they got Velcro. But when they get, they can't do it. But they come to an older, bigger person and say, tie this. I taught kindergarten and they used to put their foot right on you. Because they couldn't do it. They needed somebody greater or better than they were to do it. But yet not above them, but equal, another human being. See, this gives the connotation that this is somebody who walks side by side with the man. I'm a butcher to quote, but I'm going to try it best. A writer wrote that when God created woman, he did not create her from Adam's head, or she would tower above him, or his feet, or he would trample over her. He created her for his side, so he would walk with her. So this word says side by side, a helper. So when you think of when Barak, or whatever you want to call him, was getting ready to go to battle, and he said, hey, I'm not going unless Deborah goes with me. It wasn't because I'm scared. It wasn't because he was weak. He said, no, this is a righteous judge. This woman is brilliant. I need her strategic help in fighting these enemies. He needed an Ezer, a helper. Doesn't that make that story even more rich now?
Yes.
Ezer. The next word, a little bit harder to say, especially if you didn't pass phonics. Conecto. Conecto. See, in our, we would say negdo, but it's conecto. Conecto is one who is suitable. One who sits opposite, face to face, who holds accountable. And guess what? This is the only time this word is used in the Bible. To describe woman. God created an Ezer Conecto for Adam because he didn't want Adam to deal with this world alone. He created a side-by-side, face-to-face warrior. Notice, ladies, I said side-by-side, not in front of him, not above him, not behind him or beneath him. Side by side. See, because those of us who went to basic military training know that was one of the first things they taught you. How to walk, march together, side by side, in formation. Because we were going to move together. Notice I used the war analogy or a fighting analogy. Because in this garden that God created in Genesis, there's an enemy. And the enemy knows that God has a plan. He told them when he created them to let them rule. Them rule, which means they were to rule together. So the enemy's first ploy was to divide them. He didn't walk up on Eve because she was stupid and gullible. He walked up on Eve to divide, get Adam's suitable helper out of the way. Because he knows that a house divided against itself can't stand. So if he can separate the male and the female, then he can cause God's plan to look like it's crumbling. They were supposed to submit to walking side by side and conversing and living face to face. That face to face, holding accountable, That means that if a man says, I gave this example yesterday, if your husband says, I'm going to buy a new car, and you say, no, babe, not now. He says, well, look, I'm the man. I make the decisions. He going to tear up his house. Because if he throws that gauntlet down, then she says, fine, then you make the decisions, but don't cry to me when we bankrupt 2 years from now. Because she's accountable. She's holding him accountable. No, babe, not now. If you can't agree on it, then you need to table it. Because a house divided against itself can't stand. And the enemy wants to divide males and females. And you see what happened when he did it. Immediately, blame game. Immediately, problems. When you look, there is immediate issue. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Because I truly believe that one of the biggest problems in the world, and especially in the church, is we don't live Genesis 1 and 2. We live Genesis 3. Because what happened in the beginning of Genesis 3? The fall. The great rebellion. The thing that allowed sin to come in and take over all of us. And look at verse 16 of Genesis 3. It says, so the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall deliver children. Yet your desire, and the literal translation says, your desire will be contrary to your husband. It says, see, you, in most translations, it says your desire will be for your husband. But the original Hebrew says, no, your desire will be contrary to your husband. So if you're supposed to be his suitable helper, his Ezra Connecto, but you're contrary to him, y'all gonna be fighting all the time. And then here's the other problem. Yet he will rule over you. And that literal translation said, and his desire will be to control you. Some of y'all sitting here right now, you're struggling with that in your marriages still. Because we've been taught this improper thing about marriage. We've been taught by the culture about relationships, male and female, on the job. You think we would have had Me Too if they would have lived Genesis 1 and 2? And even in the church, help us, Jesus, because I'm about exposing and kicking out all the stuff that needs to go out. Well, we know the pastor doing this, but you know he the pastor. Not for us to touch, not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. He cheated on his wife with one of the members, which is spiritual abuse. Because if the person who has been charged with helping you to grow up in God is abusing you, you won't grow up. And we don't call it out. Because if he has a true Ezra Connecto, she will tell him, stop looking at those women like that. I'm your bride. And if he raises his hand, somebody ought to step up and say, hey, brother. This is a helper suitable. You're not putting your hands on God's daughter. Oh, let me get back in the pocket. I'm ahead of myself. So you see the problems that came into the world? And it got so bad that we get to Genesis 6 where God says, it grieves me that I have made mankind. Why? Because there was rape and assault and abuse and murder, and men were doing whatever they wanted to do because they were dealing with what the culture said about men instead of what God said. So they treated women any old way. They treated women as property. But God never said she was property. He said she was Ezer Connecto, a helper suitable, a side-by-side, face-to-face equal. But the serpent did his job, because that's why the serpent got pronounced on him. And this is really what's behind his motive. Genesis 3:15, where he says to the serpent, I will make enemies of you and the woman, of your offspring and her descendant. God pronounced in the garden that he was going to rectify and redeem the world through the seed of the woman, and she has had a target on her ever since. And brothers, I hate to say it, he been using y'all to help. The serpent knew if he could separate us away from what God wanted, that he would cause all of this chaos. He would give us that stat. 1 in 4 girls before 18. That means every time you're sitting with a group of little girls, 4 little girls, one of them has probably been sexually assaulted. You standing in a teacher in a classroom. We know. Some of your daughters withdrew and went just totally changed overnight. And you, what's wrong with her? 1 in 4. I'm looking at a man back there, he got 4 daughters. Sin and division caused in all of this chaos and all of this abuse and domination and battle for control. The woman was targeted. Her seed was going to crush Satan's head, so he stays on targeting her. He wants her destroyed. And if you read your Old Testament, it's some tore up stuff in the Old Testament about women. But if you read the Word of God, he also makes provisions for women. See, people got God, their theology of God is all wrong because it's based more on what people do instead of what God, how God responded. So when a man would seduce a virgin, somebody's 10, 12-year-old daughter who has stepped into her womanhood biologically in the Old Testament, he would have to pay her father for her or marry her and treat her like a first wife for the rest of her life. That was God's provision because men couldn't keep away from little girls. We weren't created to be objects of lust. We were created to be ezer connecto, helpers, suitable. You need help, guys. Pastor talk about it all the time. He needs help. And she has to be warrior-like. She can't be wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. Because he's a pastor. And because we got issues as women, we look and fall in love with Pastor. Because he's our new savior. That's her baby, not ours. But thank God for Jesus. Because when he, the seed of the woman, came, because in the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a Ezer Connecto, came and he remedied all that had been done in Genesis 3. And everyone who believes in him has been restored back to Genesis 1. So each one of us in here that is a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ have no business acting in contrary and abusive and destructive relationships. We should be trying to live out Ezer Connecto as women, and men, you should be treating us like Ezer Connecto. And I know it's some people I love, they disagree with this, but I'm not reading the book, I'm reading the word. Because our great theological distreaties and theologians throughout the world have come up with their opinions, but the bottom line is they are just like us. They are sinners saved by grace. And when the culture influences so much, it is easier to kowtow to the culture than to stand on the side of Christ, because you might lose something if you let your women stand up and exercise their spiritual gifts. You You might lose something if you know you need to work 16 jobs in order to make some money, but if your wife goes, she can make 15 times as much on her one job. Because you want her to be at home cooking, and she can't even cook, much less clean, because that's just not who she is. But you can. So men, instead of being exhausted working 15 hours of overtime every day, why not come home and let her go to work? She's your helper, suitable, your ezer connecto. And then the two of you have some time to spend together instead of y'all passing each other in the night. She tired from being stuck with kids that she's tired of raising. And if you really read the Old Testament, the men were given more responsibility to take care of the children than the women. Jacob's boys spent more time with him than they did with Leah and Rachel and Bilhah. Oh, because that's another example of how God did not design it. See, the problem is we got all these in between, and we pay more attention to in between instead of what's in the beginning. What God said, ezer connecta, not concubine. Not that over there. Ezer connecta. And as believers, we are new creations in Christ, so we have to live out what God said. We stand there and go, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Then do it. But if you don't know what God said, and unfortunately, stuff gets lost in translation. But isn't it wonderful in 2022 that we now have people that understand and know Semitic languages so they can tell us what it says? We have people that, there's a brother, Dr. Jamal Dominique Hopkins. He's a professor down in South Carolina. He is a Dead Sea Scrolls theologian. In other words, he actually can read the Dead Sea Scrolls. In 2022, never heard of a black man like that. So when you talk about translations, go and listen to what he has to say about which translations of the Bible are most accurate. Why? Because he can read the languages. He's not reading an interpretation of a translation of an interpretation. He's reading the actual texts. Let me get back to my text. But the beautiful part of what God has done for us in creating us women the way he created us and men the way he created us is we can't do this apart from each other. We can't change this world without each other. And if we're adversarial with each other, if we're looking hierarchically at each other, I'm above you, you're a woman, you're beneath me, I don't listen to women. That's what the rabbis did. They used to pray, thank God I'm not a Gentile or a woman. And Jesus called them whitewashed tombs, hypocrites. We're going to talk at the end of the month how Jesus treated women like ezer connecta. But you know, the beautiful part is no matter what the enemy has schemed, according to Isaiah and Job, no plan of God's can be thwarted. No plan of God's is going to be interfered with. And we're part of the plan to make it right. You see, God's daughters are just as valuable as God's sons, because Christ died for all of us. And he brought us into his kingdom, his family. He adopted us so we could be part, as I said in the beginning, of doing what's right and making things right. Starting with, we are to train our sons to value women. Men, please help. Women, please help. Because a lot of y'all doing it by yourselves and then not training them to value women because you don't know your worth. But Christ died for you. He took a bloody beat down on your behalf so that he could restore you back to wholeness in ezer connecto. got to train our young men that boys will be boys. That ain't Bible. The fruit of the Spirit is not do whatever you want. It's self-control. It's God brought the woman to the man, and the two became one flesh as husband and wife. You can't keep wifing out there every chance you get. And we got to train our sons better. There would be no abortion in unwanted pregnancy if there wasn't help. That's the saddest part of this whole argument. Nobody wants to deal with how did a 10-year-old get pregnant? Because the world doesn't understand she wasn't intended to be somebody's object of lust and desire and violence. She's as her connecto. But if you don't know why something or someone was created, you will abuse them. We got to do better. Women, we got to do better. But it starts with knowing who you are in Christ. Why? Because God has these two words for us. Justice and righteousness. The Hebrew word for justice is mishpat. It means doing divinely righteous actions taken by humanity that promote equality among humanity. That's mishpat. That's justice. They say equal justice under law, but justice, as Tupac said, peaks when we come up. Some of y'all find out what that is later. So if we are to partner with God in doing justice, that means we have to do things to make things right. And first it starts with me. I got to know what God says, and then I got to start doing what God says. So I have to do justice and love mercy. I can't just holler justice. I have to do justice. And then we work side by side to uplift the righteous and the oppressed and deal with the unrighteous and the oppressors. It's a whole lot of folks need to be in jail right now. Right now. And I'm not saying that to be mean, but I'm going to tell you something. It's a lot of people, God wants them in jail for one reason. They will find Jesus. Because see, as long as they're running out in these streets doing whatever they want to do, being boys will be boys, they're going to keep getting encouraged, especially in this world where do what you want to, sleep with who you want to. Even when we get monkeypox and AIDS and everything else going on, keep doing what you do, be sexually immoral. But maybe if they're in jail and they're in that position and then alone and away from society, they go to chapel and they get a chaplain who's walking in righteousness, who preaches the gospel to them, and they find Jesus. Because it is better Jesus in jail than eternity in hell. Paying for what you did. So we got to do justice. And then there's righteousness, tzedakah. That is means simply to do what's right. If you see it, say something. If you know your uncle is creepy, keep him away from your children. I had a creepy uncle. I had a creepy uncle who said something about me one day when I was walking, inappropriate for a teenage girl to hear. And even though my parents were divorced, I know my daddy was crazy. So I told him. My uncle barely looked me in the eye for the rest of his life because my daddy did what was right. He confronted him. Don't you ever say that to my children again. But see, we got creepy uncles and we just say, oh, just baby, don't worry about it. No, no, no. It's not right. And it's not justice. God wants to stop those people before he has to take their life. He wants to save them. You have to do justice. it's sad. I was in Fujairah, which is by Bahrain in the Middle East, the UAE. And there's a place called the Court of Islam on one side of the street. And then across the street, there was a big old, like, arena. And I asked the guy, I said, what's that? He said, well, when you are charged in the Court of Islam, they take you over to the justice part where they render justice. And while I was there, two men were beheaded for raping a woman. And the saddest part I said was, it's amazing that Islam has a better understanding of women than the United States does. Because you can rape a woman over here and never pay for it. Or get a judge to say, we don't want to ruin his life, so we're going to just give him time served. But Jonathan knows if you don't stop them, they're going to stay on his caseload. Do justice. I'm not saying that Islam is better. I'm just saying as God's people, we got to do better. So this month, as we go through these lessons and we hear these speakers, men, don't tune out because we women. We're Ezer Connectos. We're helper suitable. And y'all know what? Some of us are true straight up thug warriors. You need our help. You're not going to fix all this by yourself. That's why the government's so broken. It's too many men and not enough women. And then too many old men of a certain type at that. Who want us to just, can't we just go back to when we could grab women and be like mad men and do all that? Can't we just do that? And say whatever we want to black people when they get back. That's what they want to take us to. But the church has got to forge a new path. Following Jesus, obeying God, and restoring tzedakah, mishpat, righteousness, and justice by treating women like Ezer Connecto, helpers, suitable for the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for elevating us, for not letting us stay under the traps and the lies of the enemy all these years. Father, we forgive all those who just taught what they knew, and we thank you for those who are teaching the truth these days, who are saying who you are by declaring your word to us. And Lord, we're going to commit ourselves. I don't care what the rest of the world does, but we're going to commit ourselves to doing what's right and what's just. We're going to call it what it is, but we're going to do it in love. Because we need to do this together. We cannot do this apart from each other. So I ask you to bring healing for each one of your daughters here, Lord, that have experienced sexual abuse and assault. Heal them. Give them shalom, the life that you have desired for them to have. Send alongside others to bring a balm in Gilead. For each of my brothers here, Father, I pray that you help them work through, because in this toxic masculine world that we live in, they need to focus on the true, real man, Jesus, who was neither toxic nor broken, but he's God, who gave his life as a sacrifice, and who truly elevated all of us and seated us in heavenly places. We thank you today for your word, for your presence, for all that you're doing. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank God for that awesome word today. I thank him for using Janice today. That was, it was a lot we got today. And I know that was deep to me. I don't know about everybody else. And I thank God for her today. And as you know, when Pastor Overall doesn't preach in accordance with God's word, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14. Those who preach the word should earn their living from the word. So I'm going to take up a love offering for our preacher today.
And just look that they are collecting new and truly used and clean clothes. They have the donation dates set on the back. It's August 3rd, 10th, 7th, Wednesdays. Well, just look at the flyer. They got the flyer back there and the days and the times to drop off. Drop off clothing if you want. This is a good time. Clean it out. Kids getting ready to go to school. We getting ready to go to fall. Go in the closets, clean out the stuff, clean it out, and then bring it over here. Don't forget the Bring Back the Family today at 4 o'clock, Kathy. And then always, don't forget to Janice girls. You said they just started school, Janice?
They're out right now for elections.
They're out for elections, but
they'll
be back on the 14th. So if you can, if you want to box breakers to support the young ladies in Africa, but to get them into school. Also, we got a couple notes.
I'm from.
I will not. No, you need to come up. You do it better than me. Victor Folks passed away. The arrangements have not been made. He is a member of the Folks family that run the roller cave in Southwest Detroit. So they, no, her father's Earl. So yeah, so more things to come. And then Mother Irma wanted to announce too that the Maddox family reunion is going to be planned for Saturday, August 27th. Pass the information on. Look for more to come. The Maddox family, on the Maddox family, it's a page?
Facebook page.
Facebook page, thank you, Janice. Then, thank you, Runner for Christ.
Of Oliver, she's coming in.
Just go ahead and give it to her. Shame on you putting Uncle Oliver in that. Running for Christ Ministry, over and over again thank you for the many cards, phone calls, and continuous prayers that you sent up, that you sent for me. The love that you show helped to bring me back to church. Love much, Mother Irma Miller. Thank you. Okay, so also on the page. Go to the jobs. I know some people personally. I know they used to be AK Steel right where Ford Motor Company at. They're Cliff Steels now. They are hiring. They're finishing up a class. I think the lowest paying job in there is like $25 an hour, $35 an hour. Union benefits start day one. So it's jobs out there. So scroll the pages if you're looking for something. Crystal will be up with the next announcement. Thank you.
Oh my God. Y'all, Jesus. Okay, so just a couple of reminders. One of the biggest reminder is that Church History is a new class that we're going to have on Blog Talk Radio. All right, so it begins on Monday, September 12th. Pastor says it's going to be from 6 to 7. That's what Pastor says. We know a pastor, okay? So it starts on September 12th, which is a Monday, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pastor O is the teacher. It is a 15-week class. The textbook will be The Church That Jesus Christ Built, which is a book that was written by Pastor O. So you need a book to participate in the class. Amen. So you can go to Pastor O's website, pastorgmo.com. You can pick it up at the church office, but you have to call to make an appointment first. Or you can just see Sister Sheila Overall in the back, and she will make sure to get you a book. Amen. So, obviously, we have a new announcement as well. We have a save the date. Okay, so where can you get your kids enrolled for school, get a COVID-19 vaccine, some nearly new clothes, register to vote, and get you some Jesus? Well, obviously, at Run for Christ Ministries, of course. We are having an open house on Saturday, August the 27th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. We got food, we got games, there's going to be crafts, and it's free. We all like free stuff, right? Amen. So, if you want to be a part of this, see Deaconess June Rogers. We've had multiple meetings already. We've already got the ball rolling. I feel like Avetrius was all in my announcements today as far as the clothes. Sarah is going to be collecting clothes every Sunday. So the 7th, the 14th, and the 21st here in the parking lot from 12 p.m. to, I believe, 1:30. So you can just bring your new, used, clean clothing here to her, and she's going to store it until it's time for us to have our open house. Amen. Let's see. We always want to keep people in prayer, people who we see all the time, those who we don't see. Nico Gaston, she was here last week, but she was in pain, so let's make sure to keep her in prayer. Deacon Eric Reed had his procedure. Obviously, Tyrone Hamilton, Deacon Rayfield Rogers, all the mothers on the move. We are so happy. Mother Irma, this is your third Sunday in a row back to church. And Mother Irma had been gone for a while. So we are so happy to see her. We had a list up here of those people who need to be continuously prayed for, those who are bereaved and grieving. And even Janice in her sermon brought about some really terrifying facts when you talk about 1 in 4 girls and 80% of African-American women are victims of domestic violence. We have a lot of praying that we have to do. Amen. Here's one. John Mack is back in the hospital. All right, he's back in Wyandotte Eye Hospital, so we want to keep him lifted up in prayer. And it's August, so it's a new month, and I only have three birthdays on my list. Anybody in here have an August birthday that's not on my list, that wants to be on the list? No? Okay, so we have Deaconess Danielle, who her birthday is on the 17th. I'm going to announce my mom's birthday because she would have turned 83 on the 19th of this month. And then Robin, her birthday is on the 24th. Amen? Alice. Alice's birthday is on the 17th. Okay, so I'm going to put her list. On the 25th. Okay. 17th and 25th. Oh, anybody else? I will ask for your license. Okay. Amen. I think that's it as far as announcements. Amen. Oh, don't forget to get your questions for class on the back table for Isaiah 62.
And for those of you who were here this morning, you enjoyed a robust Sunday school. Sunday school is in session at 9 o'clock. Next week, we got Deaconess June Rogers taking us into John 11. So if you can't, I'm going to put it out there. If you don't know the 7 declarations that Jesus made, you should be in Sunday school on Sunday. Because if you don't know who Jesus is, you got to ask yourself, do you really know him? All right, as you're standing to your feet, pray for the people of Kenya. They're voting, and you voting is like, our voting is starting to look like other countries' voting, where there is violence and coercion and all kinds of shenanigans going on. So pray for them. That's one of the reasons why they shut down schools, is because it's not a peaceful time. So we're praying for peaceful and effective voting, because it does affect people that we love and care about.
Thank you.
receive our benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought you up from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, that is Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. All God's people say.
Amen.